report from the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives Nova Scotia on living wages in the province was released on September 7th. The report outlines the living wages needed across the province in order to reflect the changes in living expenses. This year's average increase of 14% is the highest year-over-year rise that's been seen since the report began calculating living wages for Halifax in 2015. Suzanne McNeil from Justice for Workers Nova Scotia spoke with CKDU about how an increase in minimum wage is needed and the benefits that would come from it.
We at Justice for Workers Nova Scotia always look very closely at the CCA living wage report each year, just because it gives a little snapshot about, you know, what workers are experiencing in the province with regards to all of the costs of living, what they need. And it's a bit jarring to see how big of a jump the living wage calculations made this year from last year. I don't want to say that we are we're not entirely surprised to see those numbers, because we know from having conversations with people in the course of getting them to sign our petition, we know that a lot of people are struggling and that, you know, their wages are just not keeping up with what they need. We were really interested to see how high it was, you know, in Halifax certainly, but also just across the province. And the minimum wage is going to reach $15 an hour this fall in October. We were originally supposed to reach $15, you know, this coming spring, but, you know, the province accelerated the timeline a bit, and for good reason. But, you know, $15 is not going to get people where they need to go. And we believe the minimum wage needs to be much, much higher.
Is this a good sign, or is it just a reflection that this inflation is driving this up?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that are really, you know, affecting this number. You know, certainly, like, inflation is part of it, but, like, also the rising cost of groceries beyond inflation is certainly a problem that a lot of workers are experiencing when they're trying to buy enough groceries for their families, and definitely across the province, but, you know, especially in Halifax, the housing crisis, the astronomical rates that people are paying for rent, and of course, you know, what happens when people are trying to look for housing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that are going into these figures, and so we're seeing a lot of different crises converge all at once, and it's what's really making people feel the strain when it comes to their paycheck.
Yeah. And how does this data that was collected help the Nova Scotia government to understand, affordability challenges that they're facing right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the methodology that the CCPA is using and also making these numbers available across the region, so that, you know, the province does need to look at the whole province in order to make good policy choices here. And this report shows that affordability is an issue in every region, you know, from Yarmouth to, you know, Glace Bay, Cape Breton, northern Nova Scotia. This is not really an affordable province to live in. Mm-hmm. You know, it may have been at one point, but it is among one of the more expensive places to live in Canada. You know, Halifax is right up there with a lot of our larger cities in Canada in terms of, you know, housing costs. And so, you know, we believe, Justice for Workers Nova Scotia believes that the minimum wage needs to be much higher to reflect this basic reality.
So are these wages enough to support the needs of Nova Scotia, or is that this data showing that it's not meeting the mark?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the data shows that our current minimum wage, which is going to reach $15 in October, there's going to be over a $10 gap between the minimum wage and, you know, this calculated living wage rate in Halifax. And, you know, and you know, the gap might be slightly smaller in other regions, but, you know, it's still substantial. And so we believe that, you know, raising the minimum wage to $20 an hour is going to help narrow that gap for people considerably. Mm-hmm. And it'll let employers also know that, you know, what they're paying for wages, what they have on offer, and, you know, what they expect workers to take needs to be within the realm of reality. It needs to be in the realm of, you know, what people actually need in order to show up for work.
You mentioned there was benefits of paying this living wage, and sort of just talking now, you mentioned some of those benefits. Can you talk more about, yeah, just what the benefits would be of having people making a living wage?
Absolutely. So, you know, there's benefits for workers, certainly, first and foremost, as we are a worker-centered organization. And, you know, the benefits for workers are kind of obvious, you know, be able to make ends meet, put food on the table, be able to pay for childcare, be able to, you know, not spend half your paycheck on housing, and, you know, be able to participate in the life of the community. If people are juggling multiple jobs, then there's not really time for a whole lot else.
Yeah.
The benefits, I think the benefits to employers follow that. If employers offer better wages, better benefits, they're not dealing with as much turnover, there is a happier and more productive workforce, and the benefits to the community, you know, the benefits to our entire province are considerable. Right now, we see sort of the negative impact of low-wage work in a lot of our different systems. You know, healthcare workers see it, you know, in our hospitals and among their patients, you know, what the impact is of, you know, people not being able to live as healthy lives or afford their medication. And that, you know, that translates into increased strain on the healthcare system. And as we are, you know, right now in a situation where we don't have enough family doctors and, you know, the system is struggling in a lot of ways, you know, I don't think we can afford to be adding to the strain of the healthcare system by, you know, continuing the system of, you know, low wage work and a low minimum wage. Education workers, teachers see the social impact of low wage work in the schools, you know, among children who are growing up in poverty, you know, that, you know, don't come to school sort of having had a good breakfast. And, you know, if parents are struggling to put food on the table and afford all of the things that kids sort of need to grow up healthy, then, you know, that translates into a lot of problems further on down the line. You know, kids can't get a good education and make the most of their time in school if their families are struggling in this way.
Mm-hmm.
So for all of these reasons, you know, we at Justice for Burger in Nova Scotia think it's pretty obvious that the, you know, there's a lot of different policy areas that need to be improved, but certainly raising the minimum wage is one way that the province can make a huge difference in the lives of a lot of people.
What are some of the recommendations that were talked about in the report recommendations for employers and the Nova Scotia government?
Sure. I think the ones that we were interested in reading about as Justice for Workers Nova Scotia was, of course, you know, the recommendation on the minimum wage being higher. That was obvious. And also the recommendations that employers simply need to be paying more. You know, now the minimum wage is that's kind of the level at which we say it should be illegal to pay less than this. But employers certainly don't have to do the bare minimum. They can and should be doing much more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm still making my way through the report, but, you know, those were the things that really caught my eye and that, you know, we were interested in